Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 34 of the Attacking the Championship podcast. My name is Tom Butterfield, and I'm your host. And as ever, let me welcome our resident guest. He's a certified data analyst, scout, FA licensed coach, and intermediary all rolled into one, David Bromley. How are you, David?
I'm doing pretty well, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, how good are stuff. You?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Good. Just sort of mooching along, recovering from some exciting games over the weekend.
They were.
But no, I've generally been okay, just working hard. I'm actually going away to a bit of sunshine towards the end of the week. So a very inopportune moment at the very exciting part of the season. But
you won't be far away from the action, I'm sure, will you?
No, that's it, mate. No, I'll be keeping my eyes on it for sure.
I'm a bit jealous because we've had nothing but wind and rain like most of the country, I think.
Oh, man, it's been brutal. This is the first year, because I live up in the northeast of Scotland, as you very well know, and now everyone else does as well. It's actually really nice up here usually, but this year has been the first year. In fact, the last 2 weeks only, I've been saying to myself, I've got to get some sun. I've got to get some heat. Yeah. You know, I'm just really feeling the cold this year because it's been so wet. It's been horrible. And so we're looking forward to getting a bit of sunshine in. So can't wait for Friday.
Vitamin D as well.
Exactly, you know, mate. I'm depleted is what I am. Completely depleted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose I'm lucky being in the south, the sunny south. You know, usually we're not too bad, but it does seem to have gone on forever, doesn't it? This sort of dreary, dull wind. We've had the wind, we've had the rain, because we're doing some building work, which I think most people who've listened to this pod probably know all about. We've got scaffold and we've got covers on the scaffold that are blowing all around the place. So you really know when it's windy.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
But anyway, can't complain, really.
Well, we're allowed to. We can do what we like.
Yeah, well, true.
So, we've got some games coming up. Well, last weekend's games, first of all. Let's talk about those, because there were some big ones, weren't there? I think the first one we should probably mention is the East Anglia derby.
The Old Farm, they call that, don't they?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And wasn't much of a game, so I heard. And I'm sure Ipswich fans will agree with that, whereas Norwich fans will say it was the greatest game of the season. But I hear it was a little bit on the tight side, which is understandable, really, isn't it?
The result was par for the course, wasn't it? Because Norwich haven't lost for 15 games, I think.
They've got a stranglehold on it, isn't they, at the moment?
Yeah, well, 15, I don't know if it might even be, it's 15 years, isn't it? Because they haven't played each other very often.
I did hear that from one of the supporters, said it's been 15 years, so we'll just carry on today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ipswich sort of did a reasonable amount of their usual attacking, but they couldn't sort of turn it into anything.
Which happens, isn't it, at times?
Yeah, the goal was a little bit sort of suspect, wasn't it? I mean, it was a nice strike and everything, and he cut across the ball, so we get this swerve, don't you, now?
Yeah.
But I think the keeper's probably thinking he could have done a bit better
than that.
Wouldn't
mind having that one back.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, a massive result for Norwich because they needed to get something, didn't they?
I certainly did.
They were, the others were all doing well. Well, that's the thing. Coventry beat Leeds, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the next one I was going to mention because, you know, Coventry doing so well and Ellis Sims is really starting to become the striker we thought he was going to be from day one, wasn't he?
Yeah, he has. I mean, ever since I saw him against West Brom and thought, he didn't seem to have kicked on that much. Mm-hmm. He's been on fire since then. But yeah,
sprinkled the Swadix dust on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I reckon I could get something for my opinions from some of these players. Now, all I've got to do is to sort of put a question mark by their name.
That's it.
They're off and running. But he's been brilliant for them. And Hadji Wright sort of got his shooting boots out now.
Yeah.
Because both of those players, I think, at the beginning of the season, were getting chances. But weren't really doing.
That's right. They weren't putting them away, were they?
And their start, Coventry's start, was shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
It's probably not a coincidence that, you know, their results, their positive results, have coincided with their two strikers or their two real sort of main goal scorers hitting form.
Absolutely. There's quite a bit of talk about Callum O'Hare playing very well at the moment as well, isn't there, behind them? So
yeah.
It's no, they're good, they're a good side. And we were surprised, weren't we, that they were sort of around that sort of mid table area, seemed to have lost touch with the playoffs, but
yeah,
they were having a good run of form at the moment.
They are, and it's a good time to have it. So I think it looks like certainly them and Norwich are really going to battle it out for at least sixth. Jury's out a bit on West Brom. I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs, but the jury's out on whether they'll maintain that fifth spot or whether one of those two or somebody will just sort of pip them to fifth. But
I'm sure West Brom fans will agree that it's getting unnecessarily tight for their fifth spot now, isn't it? Because it did seem two games ago that they had that pretty much nailed on and they just maybe need a win or two to come. But of course, they've had a few away games. They had the home draw with Watford where they battled back, didn't they? They've had the two other draws away from home, Millwall and now Stoke. And maybe that Stoke one will hurt being 2-0 up. But having watched the first half of that game, Stoke were unlucky not to score two or three goals.
They had a few chances, didn't they?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. West Brom, you know, it's a lovely goal, actually, Mikey Johnson's goal. Really nice build up. Lovely ball by Dean Garner and a good finish. But yeah, I think Stoke fans would be scratching their heads at half time there thinking, now, how have we gone in 1-0 down here? So perhaps on balance, it was actually a fair result at the end of the game.
Well, we'll probably loop back to that subject of, what happens in the confines of one game, and the outcome, how the outcome can be sometimes at odds with what went into the game. Mm. So perhaps we'll touch on that again, I think.
Sounds good.
Later on. But,
and then
yeah.
The big game at the bottom, well, two big games at the bottom, was Huddersfield-Millwall with our man Reece Healy, some that we thought might kick on and do quite well at Huddersfield after leaving Watford. He came up with a late winner, and then Sheffield Wednesday getting all 3 points away at QPR.
Well, it was a kick in the teeth for Millwall, really, right at the last, was it 94 minutes or something?
94 minutes it was, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a real sickener, isn't it? And they're looking at their latest run has been very unfortunate. So, I mean, it's not the form. As much as Coventry have hit this sort of form at the right time, they've hit a brick wall at the wrong time, haven't they?
That's it. They've lost two games now in the last minute, haven't they, to Rotherham and Huddersfield. So
and
two
I think
teams where it really matters down there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they've lost three of the last four. So they've got a chance tonight. We're recording this on the Tuesday.
Yes, before the midweek games.
The games, but they've got a chance tonight, but it's against Leicester. So good luck, I think they might need it.
Well, that's the thing. You look at it now and it's literally like an accordion just been squeezed, isn't it? Because we had Swansea, who we were saying, well, they're probably one of the teams with nothing to play for now. Well, all of a sudden, it's only 5 points. They're only 5 points out. Blackburn, QPR, Stoke on 46, Plymouth and Millwall on 44, Huddersfield 43, and then Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday on 42.
Yeah.
So it's so tight down
it's
there.
It's so tight. And I mean, it's going to stay depending obviously on the outcome. All these games, again, you look at the tonight's games, nearly all of them, I think, if not all of them, have got something riding on them.
Yeah. You already mentioned Millwall Leicester, didn't you? You've got Plymouth QPR, which is another massive, massive battle.
Huge
down there.
Game. Yeah. And then you've got Sheffield Wednesday at home to Norwich, both teams. For their own reasons. Preston just about, so I think, still in with a chance of a playoff place playing
they've got
at home
a game
to Huddersfield.
In hand, so if they were to win that game in hand, they would be right up there.
Both teams there. Southampton, Coventry, they've both got a reason to need to win that. Leeds, Sunderland, a throwback to the 1973 FA Cup final. There.
Yeah, absolutely. Good reference.
You,
I like
if
that.
If you wanted an example of a real shock result, that was one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who was the goalkeeper made the save in that game?
Jim Montgomery,
that's
the double save.
Outrageous saves
it was,
ever seen.
It was, from I think Lorimer, Peter Lorimer, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right,
from,
yeah. Yeah, pushed
and
onto
then,
the bar.
And then
he?
I think it, there was not only was it that save, but as it came out, someone hit the rebound and he saved that as well.
That's right, yeah.
Incredible, yeah. Yeah, just a historical reference.
That's it, yeah. For anyone under the age of 30, you totally missed that one. But
That's being kind.
Have a look on YouTube.
Yeah. So what is it, Bristol City Blackburn? That's probably the only one that you might say, don't know if either team are really...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I still think Blackburn have somehow they could be.
Birmingham, Cardiff. There's something for Birmingham for sure on that. Ipswich, Watford. Well, we know Ipswich are still trying to sort of put things.
And Watford have picked up a bit, haven't they?
Yeah.
They seem to be improving.
Hull, Middlesbrough, arguably sort of just about again on the fringes of it.
Yeah.
Swansea, Stoke. They're probably both safe, aren't they now?
Swansea, maybe. They're on 47. Stoke are still only on 40. Are they on 46.
So they could do with something, just to sort of put their minds at rest.
Yeah, either one of those teams wins that, and that has a massive, massive boost, doesn't it, for both teams. Swansea, I would say that almost pegs them out of it.
Yeah. This is tomorrow, of course, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, on the Wednesday.
Wednesday night. And then West Brom and Rotherham again. Mm. Another one that West Brom would feel, you know, confident, but you've got to win those games.
If they didn't win that one, I think you'd start to get some nerves jangling, because that would mean you've gone from three games undefeated, all of a sudden turns into we haven't won in the last four. And that starts to become a bit of a worry, doesn't it? Because
especially depending on, you know, what the others do. If Norwich and Coventry manage to pull something off away from home.
If they get wins and things, all of a sudden it's super, super tight there.
And of course, if they do, that will be tonight. So West Brom will go into the game tomorrow knowing that.
With that little bit of extra pressure, does that give them a bit pressure, of it? Won't it?
Yeah. So this is it. This is what it's all about.
It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
That time of year.
And then, of course, we got Saturday. Well, Friday stroke Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they're the games that we're going to talk about the most, aren't we? Because you've come up with a little game for us today.
A little exercise. Yeah, exactly.
Game show type thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So tell us what this is about.
Well, I sort of had this idea. We haven't done this before, but we've talked a bit about predicting results and outcomes and things, haven't we? But we've never I don't think we've ever actually gone through the games and said let's make a prediction. And I was starting to think, well, I wonder if, you know, as times come when there's some real good games for Saturday as well, and I thought, I wonder if it's the times come when perhaps we should do that. And then I was sort of thinking it over, and as is my sort of inclination, I tended towards looking at analyzing the games from a sort of analytical, from statistical perspective. And I thought, this brings into question this whole subject of, you know, the human judgment versus the more analytical judgment. And it's a bit man versus machine, isn't it, really? Or analog versus digital, or left brain v right brain. And we talk about this a bit, don't we? We sort of touch on this. And I thought, that would be quite interesting. So my idea was, how about we try and predict independently of each other the scores, and we'll give ourselves 3 points if we get the actual score right, and a point if we get the result right, i.e. win, loss or draw for each team. So I just thought maybe we could do that this week, and maybe we could follow it on next week and see where it takes us. But it made me think a bit about, you know, the whole idea of trying to predict football matches, because, and I know we've dipped in and out of this as an idea, but football, or soccer, or football in the UK as we know it, is a low scoring sport. So there are massive implications from just a few very discrete events in football. Goals, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you take some other sports, like particularly the American sports, basketball, baseball, and you can take cricket probably into it as well, you say, well, the scoring is much higher for a start, and that tends to bring with it the likelihood, I think, of the better teams winning, because it's over a, you know, much, the volume of scoring is that much higher. So yeah, somebody could get lucky and score a basket or a six, or, you know, what do they call them? A home run or something in baseball. But it's not going to necessarily affect the outcome of the game as much as it would do if somebody got a bit lucky and scored a goal in football.
Mm-hmm.
So these discrete events, these small events that are, let's be honest, they are subject to quite a degree to just luck a lot of the time, can be the whole, you know, you can slog it out for 95 minutes and somebody's mistake is the difference between the winner and the loser of the team. One mistake or one bit of inspiration. So I suppose what that means is that doing what we're going to do is pretty futile, in the sense
it's
that
it's pretty hard, isn't it?
You're not really expecting to be able to call. If you can call the result, that's pretty good, but you're not going to be able to call the score. But we just thought we'd have a go at doing this, just because I thought what would be interesting would be to say, right, let's pick the matches and go through and say, okay, what do you predict the score? And how did you come up with that?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did I come up with it? And I suggested to you, well, look, why don't I take the role of the machine and you take the role of the man, and we'll do it. So we're both trying to do the same thing, but from different perspectives.
Yeah.
Let's see how it comes out, really.
Yeah. I tried to be as reactionary as in inverted commas, intuitive as possible, because I think then you get the emotional feel. It's almost like someone says, what does your gut tell you? You know, what does your gut tell you? And usually mine tells me I'm hungry, but in this case, it gave me some things. And then I thought, you know, why did I feel that?
Yeah.
And then I've just put a little brief note down, no more than 1,000 words for each. And
that is brief for you, Tom. But you know what? It's funny that, I've tended to be one of those kind of analytical types, you know, likes to sort of be orderly and get the information down and try and put it into a format where you can analyze it. But I've come, the more I've done that over the years, the more I've realized that the right side of the right brain stuff, if you like,
mm-hmm.
The more sort of analog approach is so important, and it plays a part that, as yet, and I know with the advent of AI, maybe this is sort of changing a bit, but we haven't been able to reproduce that at all. And you know, I sort of talk about this a little bit when we talk about the perhaps how we've come up with the scores. So it certainly isn't a case of saying one is superior and one is inferior, because I think you'll see the way when I talk about how I've come up with the results, you'll go, that wasn't. It's so difficult. Uh-huh. It's so difficult to make any sense of it, I think. So, I find that intriguing, that human beings can do stuff still that we just don't know how to do in any other way.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do first one alternate. So I'll do the first one here. You do the next one. I've got Leeds against Blackburn is my next one, so you can do that one first.
Yeah,
so,
okay, go on then.
So Plymouth-Leicester.
Yeah.
I've gone for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Because I feel that it's going to be a rejuvenated home park support. I think there's a feel-good factor there. I think that result against Rotherham was huge. And from what I've been listening, because we had a nice episode last week where we covered quite a lot of Plymouth stuff.
Yeah,
and it was really interesting to hear from those around the Plymouth support, those who go and watch every week. It was really interesting to see how their opinions seem to overlap with each other very much so. So there's obviously a real feeling that there was a disconnect between the head coach and the players and the supporters and the club as a whole, and it just wasn't working. So I think having got that away, almost sort of lanced the boil, if you like, not a very nice word to talk about Ian Foster, but maybe Plymouth fans will agree with that.
I don't know if he listens to this, but
probably not. Yeah. No, he probably stopped listening last week. Who knows?
Probably did. Yeah.
But I think that there's just going to be a different feel around home parks. Going to be a massive, massive game against Leicester.
Yeah.
And I am a believer that the survival instinct is stronger than anything else.
I know you are. And I think you're right.
So I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think Plymouth are going to make it really difficult for Leicester. And I actually think Leicester will come away with that, thinking that's actually a decent point to have gained.
Well, that's interesting.
Told you it was a thousand words, didn't I?
Yeah, no, but it's good. I mean, what I've come up with is Plymouth 1, Leicester 2.
Okay.
And mine is, the way I've tried to do this is I've thought, look, what do I think might affect the results? And I've looked at it from three perspectives. Somebody might be able to suggest a fourth or fifth or whatever, and they might be better. But the ones I've come up with have been the first of all, the general inclination for each of the teams to score either at home or away. So Plymouth are at home. So what I mean by that is, what's their average number of goals that they score in a home match?
Mm-hmm.
And combine that with the average number of goals that Leicester concede in an away match.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got both of those two things going on there. You've got Plymouth are at home, so their home goal scoring record, I felt, was important, and Leicester away, so their away goal scoring record was important. So I've done a little calculation with that,
mm-hmm.
and I've given Plymouth 1 goal credit for their general home scoring form,
mm-hmm.
and then the second, and I've given Leicester a goal for that as well, so that gets them to 1-1. And then I've looked at them from a general sort of form perspective, so I've looked back over the last 5 games and the home form, goal scoring form of Plymouth. They don't get any credit for that,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think they've scored, well, it must be, if I've done the calculations correctly, it must be that although that generally they've scored reasonably well at home, the last 5 at home, I don't think it's been quite so good. But Leicester haven't got any away credit either. So they've still at 1-1. And then finally, just a general strength modifier. So I've looked at where are they in the division? Because that should be an indicator as well. So it's, and that's where Leicester get their extra goal. You know, I've got those three. So Plymouth get 1-0-0. And Leicester get 1-0-1. So that's where the 2-1 comes from. And it's, you know, this cuts to the heart, I think, of how you build these algorithms up. What you try and do always is you say, what do I know about the subject as a human being? So it all comes back to your sort of human judgment. You say, well, I know, for example, that home teams tend to be stronger than a team tends to be stronger at home than it is away. And then I know that teams at the top of the division tend to be stronger than those at the bottom of the division. And I know that sometimes form comes into it, where if you're in good form, it tends to carry on. If you're in poor form. So you just think of those things, and then you think, well, how can I build an algorithm that takes into account the things that I know? But then the tricky bit is, how much weighting do you give to each one? And I messed around with that for ages and ages before I sort of got something half sensible. And I think overall, what I've probably done is I've probably overestimated the number of goals that are going to get scored. But I don't mind that in a way, because, yeah, I'd rather it gives you something to talk about. Yeah. But so I've gone 1-2 Plymouth Leicester on that basis. And everything else I've done is obviously follows that same kind of format.
Okay.
But it's not, sorry, just to say, it's not actually, if you think about it, it's not that much different to what you've done. You've just used slightly different particular ideas for your, but you've still done the same thing, really. You've looked at it and you've said, I think, you know, that they're at home, so the crowd will be up for it. The last game was a good one, so the confidence will be up. They've got a new manager. So you've done a sort of similar, this is what human beings do. We do that.
Yeah.
But the thing about doing it algorithmically is that it's consistent and everything gets treated exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Whereas as human beings, as you say, the emotion sort of comes into it,
mm-hmm.
and that can change your perspective a bit. Anyway, I'll shut up now. So that's where we are with the first one.
So do you want to go ahead with Leeds Blackburn?
Okay, so what in this particular case, I've gone Leeds 2, Blackburn 1.
Okay,
and,
gotcha.
You know, that again, it's using those sort of same things, but ultimately Leeds came out slightly ahead on that. So what about you?
I've gone for Leeds 3, Blackburn 1.
Okay.
I just feel that Leeds are very, very strong at home.
Yeah.
Got lots to play for. And I just think there'll be too much for Blackburn. I can't see it. I think Blackburn are very, very up and down. They could quite easily score 3 goals, Blackburn, in this game. They could also score 0 and concede 5. So
might depend on Sammy, mightn't it?
Exactly, yeah. That's what
puts
I thought.
Boots on the right foot or not.
I thought I'd better put down Blackburn to get one, because Sammy's got to get that one at some point.
Yeah, I think he has.
But that was for me. Just Leeds, so too strong, 3-1.
We're pretty similar, but you think they'll get 3.
Yeah. Okay. Birmingham, Coventry. I went for Birmingham 1, Coventry 2. And I've gone, my main reason was Sims is on fire. He just seems to be really finding his stride in the last third of the season. So I think he's going to carry on with that form.
Yeah, could be right. I've got a 1-1 here, Birmingham 1, Coventry 1. Again, it just didn't, I mean, my own feeling about it is I probably would have gone along with you on that, but I've had to be
consistent.
That
would have been the right choice.
So I've had to stick with it. But there's one or two of these, and I've looked at them and thought, What you tend to find, though, is you do this, and it comes up with all the results. And then you look at the results, and you go, I don't really agree with that one. Maybe I'll change the algorithm so I'll get. But then when you change the bit of it that gives you the result you're happier with, it changes all the other results as well.
Exactly.
And I've had this in my career, you know, for years, when in other sort of things that I've been doing, where you try and tweak things, and it's the old law of unintended consequences. So you change something to fix the problem that you've got, but it creates a whole raft of other problems that you didn't have before. So we're both going. So what have I said? 1-1, Birmingham 1, Coventry 1, I've said. Yeah,
I went for a Birmingham 1, Coventry 2.
Yeah, okay. So whose go is it now?
You go first.
Mine now. Right, Bristol City 2, Huddersfield 1.
Gotcha.
I've
gone for a 1-1 draw. Just feel that Huddersfield are just consistently picking up points regularly at the moment, and I think that's going to carry on. And of course, Bristol City have got nothing to play for. So,
like we said in the last, what was it? The last episode but one.
That's right.
The team's on the beach.
Yeah, when we were looking at that, and then Bristol City went and beat Leicester, didn't they? And then they beat someone else.
Well, actually, but coming back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, the difficulty because these results swing on these unpredictable, which is ultimately they are unpredictable events, goals. That's why you can't be too sure. You might have a hypothesis like teams at the end of the season don't have anything to play for, you know, they're not as committed and all the rest of it. But it just takes a bit of inspiration or a mistake and the whole thing can just change. So I think that's why you can't ever be too sure, can you?
No, exactly.
Because it's just turning on these unpredictable things. So yours was?
I've gone for Bristol City 1, Huddersfield 1.
Okay.
And my next one, Hull City against QPR, I've gone for a 2-2 draw.
Have you?
Yeah, I think both teams need the win.
Yeah.
Which is going to leave them very much open. I think if you're just going to get some real Alamo stuff at the end of the game, and I think one of them is going to either get the equaliser or not quite get the win they're looking for. So I think neither team would be happy with a draw there.
Be a good game to watch if it was 2-2, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah, it would.
I've gone for Hull 2, QPR 0. In fact, it's the only game where the algorithm produces a 0 goal scored for some reason. So it's obviously, I don't know. I mean, I've gone back and looked at it, but perhaps away from home, QPR haven't been scoring recently too freely. So, 2-0 Hull. And if
that
it
wouldn't
is,
surprise me to be that result, to be honest.
No, I mean, Hull need to do something, and they need to do it quickly, don't they? Mm. If they're going to really sort of make a push for the playoffs, I think. Right. Who's next? Me.
I think that's you, yeah.
You'll like this one. I've gone Ipswich 5, Middlesbrough 1.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
Yeah, so they just, they're free scoring. We know they're free scoring, especially at home. And they've got two strength modifier goals, two sort of general scoring at home goals, and one for their last five games form. So 5-1.
Nice one. Well, I've gone for a pretty goal fest type thing. I've gone for Ipswich 3, Middlesbrough 2.
Have you?
So yeah, I just put in my notes goal fest. Ipswich to get back on track.
Well, I think there could be goals in it. It's going to be a 0-0 now, isn't it?
Well, I almost said in the Championship fans group before the East Anglia derby, I almost said, strap yourselves in, guys. There's going to be serious amount of goals in this game. It was like, read the report afterwards. It was like, this sounds like a real dull game.
You just don't know, do you? No, exactly.
So I saved myself there, but of course I've now dropped myself in it.
Yeah, well, we both reckon there'll be goals, so let's see.
I think when Ipswich are involved, there's always goals somewhere, isn't there?
You can justify it, can't you, for sure,
Yeah, exactly. Next one was Millwall Cardiff. I went for Millwall 2, Cardiff 0.
They could do with that.
Yeah, I just said Millwall in dangerous territory. And I just think with the last two results that have come about and the ways they've been lost, I don't think the fans are going to let them not give everything in this game. Not saying that they haven't given everything in the other games. And I think Neil Harris did actually say in the last game that you couldn't fault the desire and the commitment, as you'd expect from a Millwall team. It was just, a mistake at the end of the game, second phase from a set piece against Huddersfield, lost in the game. So, yeah, I just think that Millwall will just give everything. And this is such a key game. I think the home games are so important for Millwall. And I think they'll really come out the traps fast, get an early goal, and then they'll get a second one later on.
Well, the fans would like that. I mean, it's I think the Huddersfield game, I think that both Millwall and Huddersfield missed some decent chances.
Right,
I don't think it was a great game, but I think they missed a couple of good chances each. Well, I've got Millwall 1, Cardiff 1.
Okay.
Which isn't going to particularly please them, is it? Because I think that home game, as you say, it's really important that we don't know what's going to happen before then, but you've got to assume that they might struggle with Leicester, I think, Millwall, in tonight. So if they do, everything focuses on that. So, they won't like mine. They'd rather have your prediction, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'll take mine, I think,
I think so, So I've got Preston 2, Norwich 1.
Interesting.
Which has surprised me a bit, but that's how the numbers fall.
Yeah.
So
I've gone for a 1-1 draw there.
Right.
But I've said it wouldn't surprise me to see Norwich win this, because I think they've got the attacking strength to do it. But Preston are a tough side to beat, and they keep proving me wrong just by bobbing about around the playoffs.
We both had them dead and buried after 10 games, and they were top.
Yeah, I found this one the most difficult one to really get a read on, just because of Preston just being my nemesis, really.
Yeah, it was tough. It is difficult because you can make a case for either way, can't you, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure I like the 2-1 Preston prediction, but that's where it goes. So
it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. Any of those results would be, fairly on par for both teams, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I've gone Sheffield Wednesday 1, Stoke 1. I think this is going to be two very nervy teams, knowing that a defeat puts them in real danger.
Yeah.
I thought Stoke looked decent against West Brom. How much of it was the weather?
Yeah.
And how much of it was them? I don't know. But they looked good, I thought. I thought they looked very up for the game and created lots of chances and were unlucky not to go in at half-time at least a couple of goals up. So if they can hang on to that sort of form against Sheffield Wednesday, then They could have a good chance. But yeah, I've gone for 1-1 in that one.
I've gone for 1-1 as well. So yeah, we pretty much agree on that. And I would say, notwithstanding the mathematical calculator or prediction, I would have thought that's probably got 1-1 sound to it as well, that one, for the same reasons as you. A bit nervy, but I suppose Stoke won't mind that away point.
Yeah, I think whoever's the higher placed team will take it, I suppose, won't they?
But yeah.
I think, again, the other results around them will dictate the level of happiness, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. Southampton 2, Watford 1, gotcha. I've got, which I've suppose is down to, well, being the home team, I think, previously, they'd be in the on-the-beach group, wouldn't they? So
they would be, yeah.
Makes any difference. What have you got?
I suppose I almost see these two teams as one is on the beach and one in the sauna, I think.
Yeah.
I've got Southampton 1, Watford 1. Watford do seem to be playing better. Maybe there's a bit more freedom, you know, new manager with Tom Cleverley being in charge. They just seem to be scoring goals, certainly conceding them, but certainly scoring more now. And I think Southampton are in a funny spot because I don't think many people or even them would expect them now to be in the automatic promotion race. And you certainly wouldn't think you'd see them dropping out the playoffs either. So they're just sort of bobbing around in that fourth place now. And I don't think they're going to make third. I don't think they'll drop down to fifth. So they're just sort of bobbing about. So whether
do you think they'll be happy? Do you think they'll be happy being fourth on the basis that, well, we're playing the team in fifth, so we're not playing the strong. Arguably, we're not playing the strongest contender.
It'd be interesting because they've beaten West Brom twice, haven't they?
Yeah.
And if West Brom are fifth, maybe that would give them a bit of extra confidence. I don't know, but Southampton are a team that I think at their best, you could say that they are the best team in the division. You could make that argument.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're at their best very often.
They're not
at their best as often as Leeds, Ipswich or Leicester. And I think that consistency is why they're in fourth and not further up the table. So
if
you're Southampton's opponents, it is a little bit of a lottery of which one's going to turn up.
It
could be that you see a very different team in both legs of the semi-final as well. So,
and I think once the 46 games are over, none of the rest of it really matters. It's just two games,
that's right.
Who's got the more strategic qualities as far as head coach is concerned. Mm-hmm. I would say if it were to be Southampton, West Brom, you're right. Southampton have had the best of the two results, although I don't think they've necessarily had that much of the best of the games.
No, I think certainly at St Mary's, West Brom sort of played them off the park for large parts of that game, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I know even a lot of Southampton fans said, you know, how we won that game.
Yeah.
No idea.
It looked to me like they got themselves in a hole because they scored quite early, I think, Southampton. And then it was, do we stick or do we twist? They should have twisted. They should have carried on trying to play the West Brom off the park, really. And they didn't. It was a bit too sort of early in the game to do that. And it seemed like they lost their way a bit. Mm. But what I was going to say as well, once the 46 games are over, it really is just a case. It's a cup competition then.
Yeah.
So I think anything can happen in that playoff, really.
I think they'd certainly much rather be in the top two. That's for sure. And I think they'll be, I think they would have expected, and I think the fans would have expected to certainly be in the top three. I think Ipswich has been a huge surprise, and maybe even halfway through the season, there are a lot of us thinking that Ipswich, it's going to fall away at some point.
Yeah, but of course, I agree.
It hasn't. So,
no,
yeah, I think any of those three relegated teams would always be disappointed to be in that third spot.
Yeah.
And obviously just as disappointed to be in the fourth spot.
Yeah. So I've got Southampton 2, Watford 1. So I suppose that's just going, it's a bit boring, isn't it? It's just going along with pretty much where they are in the division, I think.
No, sure. I think that's fair, though.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see that result.
Mm.
That's that scoreline. Well, that result, anyway, I don't know. Scoreline.
I went for Swansea 2, Rotherham 0. and I put game of no consequence, which might be proven to be incorrect, of course, because Swansea are only 5 points out of the relegation. So if these midweek games change that, it may well be a game of consequence. But even then, I've got Swansea winning 2-0.
I've got, and I'm slightly surprised, I've got 1-1 here. Because I would have obviously thought probably Swansea. But I think where it's kind of a rounding, obviously my numbers tend to be, they have several decimal places after them, and you have to find a way to round them. Mm-hmm. And it's probably just a kind of, you could call it a rounding error, but it's just a rounding consequence. So I my guess is that Swansea are almost 2 goals, or Rotherham are almost no goals, but they've just about managed to get over the line. So it's sort of 1-1, but just about 1-1. But that's the sort of result you wouldn't be that surprised to see as well.
No,
at this stage of the season, you know, Rotherham, as you say, they've got nothing on it in the sense of they can't change their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But they could go and get something out of it.
Might be some young lads in there that want to push their case for next season for playing in League One. And
So finally, for me, I've got, computer says, West Brom 2, Sunderland 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, not a big shock, is it, really? Don't know, though. West Brom, you know, West Brom do need to win their home games, I think.
Yeah.
If they win their home, what they got, I think they got 3 of the 5 are at home. If they can win their home games, then, because I think they got Leicester away, is it, at some point?
Some tough ones, haven't they? They've got some tough ones.
I think they're mostly their home. They've got Rotherham at home, I think, tomorrow night.
That's right.
And then they've got Sunderland at home Saturday. And then I think they've got one more. I don't think it's the toughest. I can't remember which one it is.
Last game of the season is the last home game against Preston.
Preston, there you go. Well, tough, but no, not the real top team. So, I think if West Brom can get three results at home, then I think that should be enough for them.
You think so, wouldn't you? I've gone for West Brom 3, Sunderland 1.
Right.
And I just feel that this is going to be a little bit of men against boys, this one. I think that West Brom are going to sort of overpower a young, relatively naive Sunderland. Mm. And I feel that having beaten Rotherham in the midweek, winning this one, I think that will pretty much book their playoff spot against Southampton.
Yeah, well, if they can.
Yeah, I've gone that far.
Well, if they can, I wouldn't disagree with you particularly. Yeah. Well, so we've got a few similarities, but we've got a few differences in there.
Very few the same.
There's
only one that's maybe the same.
Yeah, so don't know, it'd be interesting. I've probably
we'll have
got
to
a
work
few
on
more
your
goals.
Robot voice, David, as well.
I think we will.
Next time.
Yeah. So tonight is a big one. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night's a big one. So by the time we get back to another look at it all, we'll have another 2 rounds of games under our belts. So
yeah, and it's going to be, I mean, every single game now, as you say, every single game now is a massive percentage of the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So even though every game carries 3 points, you know, all the way through the season, it's just amplified, isn't it, this time of the season, because the ramifications of a bad result or the positives of a good result really are just there for all to see, aren't they? You can all of a sudden fall by the wayside, or throw yourself into the mix for playoffs, or get yourself clear of relegation. So it's it's exciting times.
Yeah. Well, it definitely is, yeah. So
from a sort of a neutral point of view, we want that to continue for as long as possible and include as many teams as possible. But I'm sure the supporters of the teams would rather their team just get it done and dusted, and then
I bet the last day there'll be some unresolved issues, as there always is, isn't there?
Sure.
And in this division, you know, which is why we love it, really.
How many teams do you think will be involved in the relegation scrap come the last day, David?
I bet there's going to be 5, don't you?
Yeah, I was thinking, I hope it would be great if there were 6. That would be great. If everyone was within 3 points of each other, because the goal differences aren't that dissimilar, you know. I mean, apart from Sheffield Wednesday, there's at minus 31, but you've got Birmingham at minus 18, Huddersfield's minus 20, Millwall is minus 16, Plymouth minus 9, Stoke minus 16, QPR minus 14, Blackburn minus 10, Swansea minus 13. So they're all around each other. So they could all potentially in the next few games all get that little bit closer to each other, which would be great. Yeah. If they could do that, that would be...
Well, I've just had a quick look at the schedule for the last day, and there aren't any that are playing each other.
Okay.
So they're all, there are plenty that could still be in, as you say, there's plenty that could still be in the fight. But they're, you know, Sheffield Wednesday are at Sunderland.
Right.
Millwall are at Swansea. Well, say that. I mean, Swansea could be still involved in it.
Yeah, it could be.
We've got QPR are at Coventry.
Oof.
Luck with that. Huddersfield are at Ipswich.
Oh, wow.
Will things have clarified themselves at the top to the point? Yeah. Plymouth are at home to Hull. Right. Birmingham are at home to Norwich. That's a cracker of a game.
So it's almost tops against bottoms.
It is, yeah, it is. More or less all the way through. Yeah, and that's it really. Of the ones that are probably going to be in the fight still, they're mostly playing strong teams, aren't they? There's Millwall at Swansea that's not quite as clear cut, but the rest of them, QPR at Coventry, you know, Plymouth are at home to Hull, Birmingham home to Norwich. God. Yeah,
it's a long trip to Hull, isn't it? Down to Plymouth.
It is, it's a long trip for most teams down to Plymouth, isn't it? But yeah, you're right, absolutely. But it's all stacking up, isn't it, for a right good
last day. Yeah, for sure.
Not to mention the playoffs.
It'd be good towards the end of the season, actually. I was thinking we could maybe unveil our Super Six. I had this idea that I haven't unveiled to you yet.
Okay.
Of having who our top six attacking players have been for the championship. And it'll be interesting to see if any or many of those make it into the end of season team that the EFL picks as well.
Yeah.
Because I think we might find that we'll have a few surprises in there, I would imagine.
Well, we'll have our own sort of computer-generated game changer score league table of players and of teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, whether we take notice of that or not, it's up to us.
Was interesting was that having gone through the Plymouth stuff last week, quite a few fans commented. They said, I knew Azaz was really good for us.
Yeah.
But it surprised me how much Kundal was doing as well.
Yeah.
So, because we look at the numbers, you know, we watch some of the games, obviously.
Yeah.
But you don't get to see as many games as the supporters see every week. So, yeah, that was quite good because I just assumed that people knew that Kundal was very good for him and was forming a great partnership with Azaz, but obviously not so.
Well, I think it tends to be that the headline stats get all the attention, don't they? Mm-hmm. So the players that have scored or assisted. We know what we think of that, but
absolutely.
But we're looking at all the kind of attacking contributions leading into those things as well, aren't we?
Hmm.
The way that the build up play goes and who's involved in the build ups and the general sort of attacking actions, and that's not always obvious when you watch a game, is it?
No, it's
not always obvious even when you're watching the same team because you tend not to focus. You know, you see a goal scored. You know who scored it. You might know who assisted if it was an obvious one. You don't necessarily know who played the player in who made the assist.
No, exactly.
And if that's the same player over and over again, he's consistently being overlooked.
Hmm.
Take him out and you could find that, you know, there's nothing to supply those assists and goals.
It was interesting, actually, the Plymouth-Rotherham game. I know... Alfie Devine was suspended, wasn't he? Because he got sent off the previous game. But there was no Darko Giabi. He wasn't playing. So I don't know whether he was injured because he wasn't even in the squad. So
I think he's gone back, hasn't he?
Oh, has he gone back?
I believe he's gone back.
Oh, really?
And I'm not sure the circumstances of why or how that came about.
I didn't read into that. So Maybe if someone knows the reasons why, and if he has gone back, let us know, because that would be interesting to know.
I had a feeding he had.
Yeah, it just seemed like he seemed like a good player. Seems like a very tiny, very technical player, as Alfie Devine does as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, young lads in that league, you don't get many teenagers really perform, you know, and stand out in that league, do you?
Not very consistently, no.
No, very special players.
You get the odd sort of game or two where you think, oh, he's in, but it's a tough, it's a relentless challenge.
Do you know one player that did look fantastic last season whenever I saw him was Ahmad Diallo when he was on loan in Sunderland, and he just seemed to glide across the pitch. He was fantastic. Whenever I saw him, he stood out massively, and I think he was only maybe 18, 19 at the time. So he was really good, and I think Sunderland certainly missed having him this year, and I think anyone would miss having him this year.
But it's
tough. So it'll be interesting to see if Devine gets back into the team at Plymouth, or if they just stick with the tried and tested guys that they used a lot before they came in.
I'd imagine that at Plymouth now, because they've taken a step back towards where they were before Foster came in, in terms of the how they set up and their playing style as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd imagine they're thinking, well, yeah, that went well. And, you know, that's how we were making a bit of an inroad into the championship. So we'll do more of that. Wouldn't you imagine that, really?
Yeah, definitely. Nice one, mate. Yeah. Well, anything to add to episode 34?
No, I think that's it, really. But it'd be good to have another go at it next week. It'd be good to see how it plays out, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then have another little go next week. And I can always, if my algorithm's even worse than I suspect it is, I can always have a little tweak of it. You know, but that could be a task that would go on forever. But,
I think you might be chasing your tail with that one.
That would be quite
fun to watch.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Okay, then. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for the machine for putting your – that's your new nickname now, David.
Oh, okay.
David the Machine.
Be cool worse, Tom.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week when we attack the championship. See you soon. Bye-bye.